Well, the title race has swung right back in favour of Arsenal. Is 6 points a big enough cushion and too much now for Manchester City to reel in? The leaders are back at home on Saturday when they face Sunderland at the Emirates, while City face a trip to Anfield and take on the defending champions. At the other end of the table, it's looking like a crucial weekend for West Ham and their attempts to stay up. We've got it all covered on this week's Assist. To this week's Assist show, brought to you in association with freesupertips.com. I'm Warren Ashurst. I'm joined this week by Mark Langdon and Dan Charles to discuss their thoughts on all of the Premier League games, as well as the key matches in the EFL. Don't forget, of course, as ever, you can interact with us and give us your thoughts on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And make sure you check out freesupertips.com for your daily football hackers and bet builders. Let's get straight into it then, and as ever, we'll go in the list of priority for this week's Premier League matches, and we start off with the big clash on Sunday afternoon at Anfield as Liverpool take on Manchester City. Mark, we'll start with you, and before we look at the odds and which way we might look in terms of the bets here, from a Liverpool point of view, things have looked a bit rosier in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, they have, qualified in style at the end in the Champions League. I don't think it's too bad a draw either, you know, likely to be Juventus or Atletico in the last 16. And, you know, who knows what happens beyond there. We know Liverpool have, you know, won Champions League with worse teams previously. So season's still going. You know, big win against Newcastle. There was a slickness to the attack. Ekitike been one of the standout players of the season. You know, not all of their signings have worked out, at least from, you know, the opening whistle, but definitely he has. Wirtz is starting to I suppose gel and interact better with him. I don't think they're perfect defensively, but they have got the attacking weapons to hurt any team. You know, the Salah stuff and whether he sort of was going to leave has ended until the summer at least. So like they're in a reasonable enough place, I think, to what looks like being five Champions League spots, isn't it? And that's a minimum for Liverpool to qualify for next season's Champions League. In the sort of reality of the campaign, it's still being disappointing. This was a team that was, you know, Premier League title favourites before a ball was kicked. But if they can salvage something by qualifying for the Champions League and, you know, really going on a, you know, a big deep Champions League run, then there might still be something left for the to keep them going for the rest of the season.
Certainly plenty still for Manchester City to play for. Dan, they've reached the EFL Cup final this week, but reflecting on last weekend's draw with Tottenham, that would be a bit of a killer blow, you feel, for Pep Guardiola's men in this title battle.
Yeah, it was almost sort of too easy for them, wasn't it? At half time, they were 2-0 up. It just sort of felt like a stroll, didn't it? And I think once Spurs did start the second half well and got the goal, and then the mood changed, and they seemed to struggle to kind of cope with that. And it's just a little bit of a worry, obviously. But I think in terms of the title race, I certainly wouldn't say that it's done and dusted yet. I mean, you've got to remember, until the Arsenal's 4-0 win at Leeds, you know, they've gone three games without a win, haven't they, before then. It's more of an issue as Can City at some stage put a run together. They've been just dropping far too many points recently. I mean, the Newcastle, nice, comfortable way through in the EFL Cup semi-final. That's going to help as well. He was able to sort of rest players from the start, and then even more so the break there. And that puts them, I think, in reasonable shape going into what is looks like a massive game for them, because they're not going to want that six-point gap to increase anymore.
No, Liverpool 11-8 to claim the 3 points on Sunday. It's 7-4 City and 27-10 the draw. Mark, City haven't had a great record, obviously, at Anfield in recent years. But as Dan's already said there, I mean, this looks like a crucial game at this stage of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, City have folded at Anfield, in previous visits, haven't they? And that's with better teams than the one they've currently got. I remember back to sort of the Champions League game when it was 3-0 at half-time. Just complete, like, collapse from Guardiola's side. So, like, even in big away games, really, even in their pomp, City always, you know, felt slightly more vulnerable. If you have a, you know, Tottenham, they've got a terrible record at, but Newcastle have given them some awkward tests. Liverpool, you mentioned. Man United, who wouldn't have kind of any right to have been sort of close to City in the last decade. Also, Old Trafford have just, they've had some thrashings, but they've also beaten them. So, these are difficult games for Man City. I'm struggling to sort of find a path to a bet in the kind of normal markets for this game, really. So I have gone for Bernardo Silva to be carded. You might know more than me, Warren, given you're a Liverpool fan, but there seems to be beef between him and sort of the Liverpool players and the supporters. Yep. He gets a lot of stick from them. He's been booked in five of his last seven Premier League games against Liverpool. So, he's really fired up, and I don't expect that to be any different. So that's around about 100 to 37 to 2. So, he's somebody that really gets pumped up for this game.
Yeah, I think the Liverpool fans sort of look at Bernardo Silva and maybe think that he tries to referee the game a little bit whilst he's out there, and a few words towards the officials. So Mark's going with a booking potentially on the cards for Bernardo Silva. Dan, what are we looking at in terms of your best bet for the big one?
Not confidently, but I just think City are a little bit too big on the draw no bet, odds against. I would take a chance on them. I just think they've got a little bit more. I think they've got a little bit more defensively. Rodri coming back into the side. He just got a substitute appearance against Newcastle. Diaz was on the bench, wasn't he, as well, midweek. So they're getting a bit strengthened up in those key areas. And Haaland rested. They're going to have a carry huge threat. Semenyo has made a big difference, even though the results haven't been great. He's certainly added to them offensively. Marmoush is starting to play well. There's a lot of options there. And I just think with Liverpool, I mean, they had the Newcastle game, Bruno Guimaraes wasn't playing, so that was a big boost to them. I didn't think they were actually that convincing until the two quick-fire goals from Ekitike. I thought the first 40 minutes, Newcastle looked the better side. And then those two goals, it changed the shape of the game. But they don't convince me, I've got to be honest, defensively, Liverpool this season. I think there's more vulnerability there. And I think if City can get more like that first half performance against Spurs rather than the second, I think they may have enough to get the job done.
Okay, just a reminder, it's a Sunday 4:30 kickoff at Anfield for Liverpool against Manchester City. On to the leaders now. Arsenal against Sunderland is a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff at the Emirates, and Arsenal, not surprisingly, 5-1 on to claim the victory here. Sunderland as big as 14-1 to claim the 3 points, and it's 11-2 the draw. I say that 14-1 with a big amount of surprise, Dan, bearing in mind where Sunderland are on the table, but obviously the difference between their home and away form has been pretty stark of late.
It has been. I mean, from a pure value perspective, I think that is a little bit overpriced, the 14-1. I'm such a fan of Sunderland. I think they're actually growing in confidence. I know it was only Burnley on Monday, but I watched that game and there looks such a gulf between the two teams. When you think about, coming up, Burnley had a lot more points last season, and they've got to the stage now, Sunderland, where they're not sort of like just looking and sitting and scrapping. They're looking really, really comfortable at the level now and good on the ball. And when you think of Burnley got points recently, didn't they, against Spurs and against Liverpool. Sunderland just brushed them aside. Look far better, a lot better in both boxes. And I just think they're a tricky opponent for anyone. And obviously, they're stronger on home soil. They've already got a draw against Arsenal this season. I don't think they'll probably have enough to get something. I just think it'll be quite a close game. Arsenal have had the game against Chelsea midweek, so that's a little bit of a distraction. I know some players they've not used, and they'll be freshening up the side again. But I don't see this being a real stroll for Arsenal, a wide margin victory. So I'm going to go for a close game. Arsenal to win by one goal looks a good bet to me.
It seems, Mark, on recent performances with Arsenal, that you are going to have to try and keep them tight, probably up until half time to maybe stand a chance. Those teams that have conceded in the first half, as they did with Leeds last week, they tend to then maybe go on and win the game.
Yeah, I mean, well, United came back, didn't they, the other week? But I think, if you just got to hang in there against Arsenal. They're not a team that creates like the type of chances that, I suppose Pep Guardiola City did. They win games in a very different way. Like Dan's tips Arsenal to win by one goal, I think had that sort of been, City of 5 years ago or whatever. You just like, you know, it might have been like 4-1 or something like that, but that's not the way Arsenal do it. I was very impressed with them though against Leeds. Like they were in complete, that was a hard enough away game, that one, given the form they were in. I was in Ireland, so I was watching that one, even though it was a 3 o'clock kickoff that game on in Ireland. And I was really impressed with Arsenal. They do open teams up from set pieces, and I wouldn't be surprised if that was their path to goal again. But they don't care, you know, they don't care how ugly it is. They'll wait, they're patient, and I expect them to win, probably not in a sort of glitzy or glamorous way. I've gone for Arsenal to win to nil. Five of Sunderland's six away defeats have been to nil. I don't know if they've got the attacking prowess to hurt Arsenal.
Yeah, I have heard some people describe, maybe slightly harshly, Arsenal recently as the Southern Stoke City for some of their tactics over recent times, which seems a bit harsh at the top of the table. But Arsenal looking to extend their lead on Saturday with a win over Sunderland. Another team who are on a good run of form at the moment, looking to continue that, Manchester United, and they welcome Spurs to Old Trafford in Saturday's early kickoff, a 12:30 start at Old Trafford. 4-7 the home side here. It's 4-1 Tottenham and 7-2 the draw. Got to ask you about Spurs, Mark, and recent performances. And you know, we thought a couple of weeks ago that Thomas Frank was on the brink of losing his job. Things have improved a little bit. Just how much has Dominic Solanke made a difference to Tottenham over the last couple of games?
Yeah, I mean, he's miles better than Richarlison and like this version of Kolo Muani, who doesn't seem that bothered about kind of him, you know, being on loan. I think there was talk of him going back to Juventus. So, yeah, fully motivated. Don Solanke is a very good Premier League striker. Adds a new dimension to the way that Tottenham play because he can hold the ball up and bring others into play. I think, you know, somebody like Xavi Simons, for instance, would rather play with somebody like Solanke than Richarlison, who's so inconsistent in his performances, and like he's a bit of a lamppost up front, isn't he? Just bounces off him too often. So yeah, he has made a difference. I mean, the second goal was fantastic. The scorpion kick against City, but the first one, you know, there's strength there. You know, I know some people felt it might have been a foul against Gehi, but I'm not sure that sort of anyone else in that Tottenham team would have bothered to try and win that ball, you know, and fight for it. And so, yeah, he makes a big difference. I mean, this is a hard game for Spurs. Just that guy that's not cutting his hair until United win five in a row. I mean, they've won three. They've got Tottenham and then West Ham in midweek. So for his sake, I wouldn't be that disappointed if United got the better of Spurs. In terms of a bet, I'm going for Man United to win the first half. We've seen Spurs be really sloppy at the start of games. And it wasn't just a City match. It's happened a lot. Aston Villa, they were slow off the mark. West Ham, they were behind at half-time as well. I've got a theory behind it, is that they start with Thomas Frank's tactics, then get behind and then change it at half-time. So I wouldn't be surprised if something similar happens again and United be absolutely buzzing after that Fulham win.
Yeah, I just wonder what we can read in down to that win over Fulham for United, because obviously they were 2-0 up and seemingly cruising at one stage. And then, of course, it looked like they'd thrown it away and just picked up a point. But then obviously Sesko pops up with the winner late on, just keeps that impetus going under Michael Carrick.
Yeah, I do think it's a reminder that they've conceded a lot of goals this season, Manchester United, and, you know, conceded two goals there, a VAR call against Fulham as well. You know, very close to being, three goals conceded. So it's just a little reminder that they haven't suddenly become, an amazing team. They've got a couple of brilliant results. I think the match result prices here are about right, I've got to be honest. I think Spurs always got a better chance when Romero and Van de Ven are playing together. I think it looks like they'll be available. I actually think the last four games, considering the injuries Spurs have got, and you include the Champions League games as well, I think they've actually performed pretty well under some real tough circumstances. I mean, the slow starts in the Premier League, but certainly in the Champions League, especially in the Dortmund game, they were right fast out of the blocks and were, you know, won that game really in the first half with a superb performance. And I think I think I was anti Frank a couple of weeks ago. I've got to be honest, I'm going to give him a bit of credit for the amount of players they've had out and some difficult fixtures, the performers they have, and under that pressure they were under at half time against City. Had to make a lot of changes as well for the game initially. There was, you know, players out. Then Romero illness. He doesn't start the second half. I thought that was a City got a lot of criticism, but I thought Spurs deserve a lot of credit for the fight back. I think to get a result at United, the form United are in is going to be tough though. My tip, I'm going to go for Matheus Cunha to score any time. I think that wonder goal he got when he came off the bench against Arsenal. He's then kicked on with a start and a goal. In the win against Fulham, I think he's on a little bit of a streak now. I think he might score again.
Okay, that is Manchester United and Tottenham, a Saturday 12:30 kickoff. We're going to switch back to Sunday now, and two big rivals meet at the Amex. It's Brighton Crystal Palace in a 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Brighton evens to claim the victory here. It's 5-2 the draw and 14-5 Palace. And the turmoil just seems to carry on over and over again, week after week at Palace at the minute. Dan, they did get that much needed point last time out. They've brought in Strand Larsen, of course, during the January transfer window. We understand that they were very close to bringing in Dwight McNeil as well. That didn't quite happen. But Palace in a situation now where Mateta's not gone. He's had to stay at the club because of knee issues and problems with medicals, such like with AC Milan. Where do you think Palace are at? And are we still thinking about potential relegation battle here for the Eagles?
Definitely, yeah. I just think that if you're West Ham, you're looking at those teams, you know, to target. You've got Leeds and Forest in pretty good form, and just above that, a couple of points better off a Palace, and I'm sure they'll be looking at them, thinking they're a team that we can go after and try and catch. I think it felt like a panic move, really, that Strand Larsen one at the end of the window. The issue with Mateta, there's now talk that he might even, you know, he wants to have an operation to get ready for the World Cup. It's just not a good, and to losing Gerhi, I understand the finances there, that you don't want to let him go on a free, but they've got by far the best defensive record, Palace, among the teams in the bottom half. If you lose that solidity, you know, and they're not scoring, you know, many goals, it puts you at big risk. I mean, not 3 points in the last 9 league games. The Forest game, they missed a golden opportunity there when they're 1-0 down and they equalise and get a man advantage. Didn't really look, you know, like they were going to break them down and get the win in the second half. So for me, I'm always reluctant with Brighton at home. I think it's like they sometimes go off too short prices, but I just think this is a great time for them to play Palace. They have only lost one game at home in the Premier League this season. I know there's quite a few draws in there, but I think evens is big enough for me. I'm going to go with Brighton.
Yeah, I saw Brighton against Everton last week, Mark. They should have won that game. They were the better team and just seemed to panic a little bit towards the end. There'll probably be a bit of panic amongst the Palace ranks with what's been going on the last couple of weeks going into this game.
Yeah, I think Brighton, it's hard to know, isn't it, what's sort of good for Brighton, because like where they are in the league, I think is acceptable. You know, as far as Brighton are concerned, when you look at the size of the club and they're 13th, but it's a really congested table.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe the owners and kind of the people in charge will have expected more from this season, and it has been the draws that have held them back at home. 6 draws already, lacking that killer instinct to put teams away. Always look slightly vulnerable to conceding a goal as well, and that's why I'm actually going for a draw again in this game. You mentioned, you know, it's a derby match in terms of the fact that the hatred between the two clubs rather than the distance between them. But like, this has got a history of draws. There have been 7 draws in 15 Premier League games between the two teams. And I think Alice's way of staying up is to just defend and look to draw matches, because I don't see them winning too many between now and the end of the season.
Okay, 5th game on the list is at Elland Road, and it's a Friday night game as Leeds play host to Nottingham Forest. 8 o'clock kickoff in West Yorkshire. Leeds 6-5 here to claim the win. 12-5 Nottingham Forest, and the draw 23-10. Mark, should Leeds be slightly concerned by what's gone on the last couple of weeks in terms of, I think, this 1 win in 4 or something now for Daniel Farke's men?
I don't think so. The problem has been West Ham have picked up maybe unexpectedly, and having sort of almost felt like they were safe probably going into this sticky spell, now been dragged back into it, somewhat. But I actually, if you lead, you will have spells like this where you don't win matches. And the last one against Arsenal, I think, can just be written off. Don't think that the performances have dipped too much. And I'm going to go for them to win this game. Just think home advantage could be like significant in such a huge game between two teams at the bottom. Not been impressed with Forest. I mean, the two wins in eight in the league were against Brentford and West Ham. I was going to say fortunate. I was unfortunate enough to watch both of them. They weren't great matches, and I thought they were lucky against West Ham. And against Brentford, they were. I backed Forest, sort of laid Brentford on that occasion, so I was pleased with the outcome. But I thought Brentford battered Forest at times in that game. So I'm not mad on. I think Forest have got talented players, but I don't think they're playing very well. So Leeds win.
Yeah, I mean, whoever wins, if there is a winner in this game, Dan, it's huge in terms of the battle to avoid the drop.
Yeah, I can see this being quite nervy. I think the West Ham improvement, I think, is going to be a worry for both of these teams. West Ham got Burnley this weekend, so big chance to pick up some points again for West Ham. And you're going to be thinking, if you're the manager of both sides, Forest or Leeds, here, you lose, you could finish the weekend 3 points off the relegation zone. So I just think that while it's, you can almost say it's a bit more of a free hit, the Arsenal game, and it's, there's no disgrace in losing to them. It might have just been a reminder to Leeds that they are still, at risk and in a relegation battle. I mean, their form over the medium term, you mentioned 4 games without a win. They've actually only lost two in 11 in the Premier League. So you can look at it both ways, and they've been doing really well the last couple of months. And I think they'll be okay. But I just think this game, there's going to be a lot of tension around it. Forest, I think they'll be happy to just sit in deep and play for set pieces and on the counter attack. And I've got a feeling they might just get a draw out of it. Going to go with a draw.
Well, 5 games down in the Premier League, 5 more matches to look forward to. But just quickly wanted to mark your card to look out for February's free bet offers on the racingpost.com. And also make sure that you check out the Racing Post recommend section, our bookmaker advice service and betting strategies to follow as well. All that can be found on racingpost.com. Up next for us, it's to Turf Moor for a big claret and blue battle between Burnley and West Ham at the bottom end of the table. 3 o'clock on Saturday, this one. And the Clarets are 23-10 to claim the victory here. West Ham 23-20 and the draw 5-2. We keep saying this every week, Dan, but more and more see of Scott Parker, the more he looks resigned to relegation. And I think certainly the last couple of weeks and the results look like they might well have just pushed Burnley over the edge.
Yeah, I think they against. Look, you can look at it two ways. The games against Liverpool and Spurs, when they got look fantastic points, but if you actually look at those matches and what went on, they were really lucky, really to get the results there. And then they've played gone into a game at Sunderland where they're going to be thinking after I think it's 14 games without a win going into it, we've got to go and win here to have any chance. And they were dreadful. Looked completely powder puff. Sunderland was so comfortable against them. It told me a lot about Sunderland, but also tells me about Burnley that they're just out of their depth. I think they're certainties to be relegated. And I understand the markets are kind of reacting to this. And West Ham are only a shade of odds against to win here. I mean, a lot of people are going to be thinking, do I really want to back them at those odds? I think they've won 2 away games this season, but I just think that the way the teams are playing at the moment, West Ham, for me, since the new signings have come in, the attacking players, Felipe Castellanos, they've taken a little bit of the edge, the pressure off of Bowen. Bowen's playing a lot better now. Somerville's playing a lot better. They suddenly, Matas Fernandes in midfield is playing well. They look a team now. And for 55 minutes at Chelsea, I know Chelsea got the starting lineup wrong, but they were superb. And even after the fight back, Todibo really should have got the winning goal for them at 2-2 with a glorious chance that he missed. So I'm really impressed with West Ham recently. I think they'll go to Burnley and win. West Ham to win.
Yeah, Mark, I mean, when you consider the opposition and the actual state of play in the Premier League, is this a must-win game for West Ham?
Yeah, I mean, I always say that you can't say must win in terms of, there's still what, about 3 months to go. But I think I mean, in their heads, they'll be thinking that this is a game we've got to win. Because, I don't want to get all Paul Merson about it, because you end up then going, the title's over, the title's back on, the relegation's done. You just end up going round and round in circles with it. But I think, it's a huge, huge game for West Ham to really sort of cement that their improvement. I was just looking at a similar price to West Ham to win is over 2.5 goals. Last six in West Ham's matches have all gone over, and that's no surprise because they're playing 4-2-4 now with all those players that Dan mentioned in the attacking sort of third of the pitch. It's not often you say Nuno believes in sort of the attack is the best form of defence, but I think he's realised the West Ham defence is not very good, so they need to go for it. And like Burnley sort of chip away at goals most weeks, particularly even against Liverpool and Tottenham. I know Spurs are not in a great shape. So a Sunderland game was shocking. I think it's rare for a Premier League team to turn in two performances like that back to back. So I'd expect some kind of reaction from Burnley. That's why I've gone for overs rather than West Ham to win.
Okay, well, we are going to head to the South Coast next, and it's another Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff, Bournemouth and Aston Villa. In terms of the prices here, the Cherries 7-4 to claim the win. It's 29-20 Villa, and the draw 5-2. That defeat for Villa against Brentford last week, Mark, no coincidence that it came at a time when they've been really badly hit by injuries. They've just lost, several key players at the same time, and it's come at a really bad time in terms of their push for what we thought might be a slight title bid, or certainly the top four.
The Champions League qualification, I think me and Dan have both said it sort of week after week. That's the aim for Aston Villa. The titles was always fanciful. It's not going to happen. This game, I think, is team news dependent. So I haven't got a strong fancy in the match. If Watkins and Onana start, then I'd go for Aston Villa, draw no bet. So I think they'll make a difference in midfield and up front. They've had a free midweek. That might have done them good after all the sort of hectic period. But otherwise, really struggling with this game. Probably won't have a bet myself.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it, at the moment, Dan, with the likes of Tielemans, McGinn out at the moment, and Ollie Watkins a bit of a doubt. Obviously, Unai Emery's brought in a couple of new faces in the January transfer window as well, maybe just to give him a bit of impetus. How do you see this one going?
I'm similar. I'm being not confident here, but I'm going to be not confident the other way. I'm going to go Bournemouth, draw no bet. I just think that the three that they've lost, Kamara, Tielemans, McGinn, they're such big players. Mentally, they have recovered quite well from defeat. So I'll be wary of thinking, oh, they've had a bad result against Brentford, who had 10 men second half. So I'm not saying that it's just inevitable that that's going to continue. They have responded well, but Bournemouth are in really good form. Got 10 points from the last four games. There would have been question marks how they're going to react after Semenyo going. They've certainly answered a lot of those, and I would just edge towards the home side.
Okay, another 3 o'clock kickoff now on Saturday. Wolves and Chelsea do battle at Molineux. The bottom club 4-1 here to gain the victory. Chelsea 4-6 and the draw 3-1. We could have been talking about a much different Chelsea, Dan, had they had not turned it around against West Ham and then, put in a pretty solid display against Arsenal, even though they went out of the EFL Cup in midweek. This is a game which will go into wanting to avoid being Wolves' second side this season to lose to Wanderers.
Yeah, I mean, but Chelsea are up and down, aren't they? But they have got a lot more quality than Wolves have got. As I showed, to be that bad for 55 minutes against West Ham and then turn it around just shows that the quality that they can bring on. And I just think that there's just such a massive class gap here. I think people are getting I was surprised that Chelsea is such a big price here. I'd have thought they'd have been quite a bit shorter. Wolves, I think on the stats are faring reasonably well. They're in games. They were in the game. Fared quite well on the stats against Bournemouth last weekend. But yet again, they can't put the ball in the back of the net, and they're vulnerable. I mean, 8 points at this stage is absolutely dreadful. One victory, I just don't see any other result here than a Chelsea win. After I don't think they would have. It would have had massive expectations of getting past Arsenal, but a little bit of a disappointment. But I think the league's always been a major focus, and I think they'll be fully focused on getting the 3 points.
I think, Mark, there's probably quite a lot of people out there thinking that Wolves are preparing for the Championship next season, selling Strand Larsen, bringing in Adam Armstrong in the last week or so. Is this certainly planning ahead?
Yeah, I mean, but to get nearly 50 million for Strand Larsen is remarkable business. So you have to do that. You have to accept what's coming next season. They've not scored in three. And I totally agree with Dan. I think there's a bit of 8 to 11 about for Chelsea if you shop around. I think that's just fair enough.
Yep. Two more games left to come, and we start off at St James's Park. It's the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Newcastle up against Brentford. Newcastle 21-20 here to claim the win. It's 13-5 Brentford and 5-2 the draw. What impact will that midweek mauling have had on Newcastle, do you think, Mark?
Well, I'm interested to see and hear what the Newcastle fans think of Eddie Howe, because speaking to one Newcastle fan that sort of feels like Howe is under more pressure than maybe the general public think he is, and that there's sort of probably for the first time discontent. A couple of league defeats have seen them slip down what is still a congested table. Look, to lose to Man City over two legs is no shame, but they were never really in that tie and were, you know, given a right old beating, 3-0 down in no time, weren't they, at the Etihad in midweek. FA Cup, managed to scrape past Bournemouth, but now they've got Aston Villa. Like, he's probably under more pressure, it sounds like, sort of locally than what we believe nationally. I would go for them to win this game. I agree that Dan mentioned earlier on that he thought Newcastle, or that sort of Liverpool, didn't play well in the first 40 minutes at Anfield. Like, for most of that first half, I thought Newcastle were good. I think there were reasons for them running out of steam. They'd been to PSG on the Wednesday. You know, it's a really hard game to play against the European champion. So I kind of can forgive them what happened in the second half there. I understand as well why Eddie Howe maybe didn't risk some of the players that were doubts against City as well, because the game was already done. I think this is a big game for Newcastle, probably bigger than we sort of realise. I'm going to go for Newcastle to win. They're generally decent at St James's, and I think Shard is a big loss for Brentford. You want Guimaraes to be fit, but it sounds like he's really close. So, if he's dead and starting, that will sort of just confirm that I'll be having a bet on Newcastle.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Dan, that it's been 10 games without Bruno Guimaraes that they haven't won Newcastle. He's part in that midfield, can't be underplayed, especially as Joel Linton's still missing as well at the moment.
Yeah, and one of the few first choices that they did start as well against Man City was Anthony Gordon, who went off with what looked like a hamstring injury as well. So they're, it was a difficult night for them there. I think, to be fair, at the prices, I mean, they've gone a shade of odds against now. I certainly wouldn't be saying that's worth laying them at those odds. So I think the match result prices, given the injuries Newcastle got and the bad form, are probably about right. The shift, Brentford, I agree, will miss Sharda. I just think it will be a tight game with Brentford not having Sharda. Newcastle lacking a bit of confidence and fatigued and no Anthony Gordon. I think it will be a bit of a grind of a game. Brentford, 7 of their last 8 away games have been under 3 goals. I think there's a very good chance this could fall into that category, and it's odds against under 2.5 goals. So that's where I'm going.
Okay, and the last game on our Premier League run through this week is at Craven Cottage. Another Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff for Fulham against Everton. Fulham to win the game on Saturday, you can get around about 11-10 on them. Everton 11-4, and the draw 9-4. I mean, it's hard to split these two teams down. Just looking at the league table, there's a place between them. They're on the same points. They've got the same goal difference. Where are we looking here?
It is hard to split them. I mean, Fulham have been on a really good run, haven't they, before that, and then still played, put up a decent performance against Manchester United, who had them two fantastic victories. So I find it hard to go against Fulham, but at the same time, Everton are doing all right as well, and they've got more points away from home. I've mentioned before, I feel that the way they set up, they're quite often they're a more awkward team when they're away from home than when they're playing at home. So, to cut a long story short, I don't think there's going to be much in it, as the league table would suggest. Going to go with a draw.
Mark, what do you think here? Best bet?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've also got draw written down. Fulham Fulham are one of them teams that, yeah, they teams have been involved in a lot of games of tight margins, just the way, you know, and I think that's good for them, really, because if they were like basketball matches every week, I don't think that suits, you know, what Marco Silva wants them to do. Everton, in all competitions, have drawn in sort of, in terms of 90 minutes, have drawn four of their last five games, and the other one was a win at Aston Villa. So they're really hard to put away. They, you know, just a very physical team that sort of doesn't know when they're beaten. And so, yeah, I, again, won't be having a bet myself, but if you do want to, the draw probably looks the way to go.
Okay, well, that wraps up the Premier League action for this week. Up next, it's your Fantasy Premier League update, and then we'll discuss all things EFL.
It's that time of the week where we recommend you three players that you should be bringing into your FPL team. As always, we'll start off in defence, and our pick this week is Arsenal centre-half Gabriel. Now, you may say this is obvious, but he's owned by just 40% of all players, and the table-topping Gunners host Sunderland at the Emirates this weekend. The Black Cats have the fourth worst away record this season, whilst the Gunners have the joint best home record. Priced at 7 million, he's arguably the most influential player in the game this season. Next, we move on to the midfield, and Bruno Fernandes is our pick this week. The Portuguese star has found some form, notching 10 points last weekend against Fulham at Old Trafford in a 3-2 victory. Only Antoine Semenyo has recorded more points out of all midfielders than Bruno this term. The Red Devils host Spurs at Old Trafford this weekend, and Bruno has notched up 6 goal contributions in 11 Premier League games against the North London outfit. And finally, our striker pick this week is West Ham United forward Jarrod Bowen. The Englishman has racked up 20 points in his last 2 games against Sunderland and Chelsea. Priced at 7.6 million, the Hammers travel to Burnley this weekend. The Clarets are on a 14-game winless run in all competitions, so expect Bowen to exploit their leaky defence at Turf Moor. He scored 8 goals this term from an XG of 5.7, which is very strong considering West Ham themselves are in the bottom three.
That's wrapped up the FPL for this week. Let's head into the EFL. And, well, we've got to start before we get Dan's best bets across the three divisions with yet more managerial changes this week. 2 more championship managers have gone in the last week. Javi Gracia at Watford and Valerian Ismail at Blackburn. The two teams in probably different positions at the moment, Dan. I mean, Watford up until the last couple of weeks will have been thinking strong chance to get in the playoffs. Blackburn battling to try and avoid the drop at the moment. Big questions for both boards at the moment as to where they go in terms of the next managers.
Yeah, you were saying that Watford, they did have a strong chance again. I think they still have got a strong chance of getting in the playoffs. Well, I watched the game against Hull on Tuesday. Compared to the performance at Swansea the last Saturday, it was night and day. They went to a midfield three. Charlie Daniels brought Nampalis Mendy into the side, who's completely frozen out under Javi Gracia, and he was the man of the match, was the best player, and they looked great. They controlled the game, should have won the game, were the better side away to a team that's sitting third in division and pushing for automatic. So. I've been saying for a while, Watford's squad is certainly good enough, minimum for top six. I think they've made a bit of a mess of it really this season, but it looks like on the evidence of that massive improvement in performance from the formation change and a few players coming in, that they're going to do quite well short term under Charlie Daniels. So my advice would be to the Watford board, you know, they love to have a look and bring in a foreign manager. I would say that the right man could well be the guy that's in there at the moment and give him a chance to the end of the season. From Blackburn's point of view, Damien Johnson's gone in there at the moment as a caretaker. They got a scratchy 1-0 win at home to Sheffield Wednesday that got them out of the relegation zone. Actually, on stats, they've been a bit unlucky this season. They've been performing a lot better than the results have suggested. XG suggests that they should have scored 14 more goals than they have. They probably have got enough to stay up, but their home form is a little bit of discontent. You feel a lot of times in the stands there at Blackburn, and that was only their third home win of the season against Sheffield Wednesday. Need to improve their home form, whether it's Damien Johnson or whoever comes in, to make sure they're safe. It's quite competitive down there in that battle against the drop.
Yeah, it's going to be a big couple of weeks for both Watford and for Blackburn in terms of their seasons. Let's get on to the best bets then for the weekend now. Dan, we'll start off with your championship selection. Who are we looking at this week?
Birmingham to win at home to Leicester. Odds on, not massively odds on. There's a 4-point difference between these, but they're going in different directions. Birmingham unbeaten in 5, took 11 points from those last 5 games. Very strong at home, only 1 home defeat. all season, strengthened in the January transfer window. Leicester, they've done a couple of late deals, brought in Dujon Richards from Chelsea, and a loan deal from Mukasa from Manchester City, brought in Lascelles, who's not been playing games from Newcastle, Leicester. But I just think that they've been so poor recently. The home loss at home to Oxford that led to Cifuentes being sacked. Then they followed that under Andy King, the caretaker, with a 2-0 loss at home to Charlton. They're only 6 points, Leicester, outside the relegation zone. I'm looking at their fixtures coming up. The next six, two of them are away to Middlesbrough and away to Ipswich. They've got some tough games coming up. They could easily get dragged in for me. Birmingham are going to be looking pushing towards the playoffs. I think they'll be further apart after this weekend. Birmingham to win.
Yeah, worrying times for Leicester fans at the moment. So Birmingham is a selection in the Championship for Dan. Who are we looking at in League One?
Going to go with Exeter, draw no bet, away to Mansfield. They're kind of a team that showed they can bounce back. They had the 10-1 FA Cup loss away to Manchester City, responded with a superb 3-0 win at home to Stevenage. Now last weekend, they've had another big setback, lost 4-0 at home to Rotherham. I think they can bounce back again. Their form generally, Exeter, this year, 14 points they take from the last seven games, 2 points per game. That's kind of promotion form since the turn of the year for Exeter. And they're against a Mansfield team that have also been in on a good unbeaten run. But they drew 0-0 at home to Wickham last weekend, Mansfield. They got a few players out. Wickham were unlucky not to win that game. They created a lot more chances. I just think that if Mansfield's performance doesn't improve a lot on that, Exeter could go there and win.
OK, and last but not least, we're going to head into League Two. And Dan, I think you're going for one of the teams towards the bottom who look to maybe turn things around of late.
Yeah, Bristol Rovers to win at home to Chesterfield. Steve Evans went in at Bristol Rovers, I think, in December. Took them quite a while to get them going, but they've spent a lot of money in January, Bristol Rovers. Got a player, Yusuf Akhamarich, on loan from Spurs, who's been superb for them. Got three goals in the last two games. Steve Evans has been raving about him, but they brought a lot of other good players in. The last couple of performances, they won a big game at home to Newport, the relegation rivals, last weekend, 3-0. Followed that with a 2-0 win at home to Walsall. And now they're playing a Chesterfield side who have been on only one win from the last seven league games. They're just outside the playoffs, Chesterfield, but not on a great run. And this looks a real bad time to be going to Bristol Rovers.
OK, so just a reminder of Dan's three EFL selections for this week. Then Birmingham in the Championship, Exeter draw no bet in League One, and Bristol Rovers in League Two. Mark's turn now. We're going to head to the Premier League bet builder. And I think, Mark, you've got selections from the Manchester United-Tottenham game.
Yeah, a couple of anecdotes first. Warren, I played football against Charlie Daniels only a couple of years ago, actually. It was a chastening experience, actually. He was much fitter than me, as you'd expect, and you just don't lose the quality that he had to play in the Premier League. And I watched Bristol Rovers on Tuesday, and they did look decent against Walsall. Yeah, that was the game I watched on Tuesday. Back to the bet builder. Yeah, Man United against Tottenham, so the early game on Saturday in the Premier League. But I think United, they've won their last three matches. They're at home. They should be confident of beating a Tottenham team that could get some players back, but it's still nowhere near full strength. And I think, yeah, game of two halves against Man City. But, I think if they play anything like they did in the first half, it's going to be very difficult for them. I expect goals in the game, so I'm going for over 3.5 goals. United have been very aggressive in the attacking third under Carrick. Got three goals against Fulham. They got three goals also against Arsenal and two against City. So, really improved attacking-wise. But you can't trust them defensively. And I would say the same about Tottenham, who have been involved in a couple of two-all draws in their last two Premier League games. And if you have a look at sort of recent Premier League matches, conceded two against West Ham, conceded two against Burnley. I mean, that doesn't bode well for a trip to in-full Manchester United. I'm going to complete the 5-1 bet builder with Conor Gallagher to commit at least two fouls in the game. Very combative midfielder, played a big part in actually why Spurs turned it around in the second half. It was his assist for that Don Solanke goal. But he, as part of that, he does give up fouls. So he's only played three matches for Tottenham, already committed five fouls in two of those three matches. He went for sort of at least two. So yeah, he's had a 2-0-3 so far in terms of the fouls committed. So expecting more industry from him in midfield.
Okay, that is Mark's bet builder then for Manchester United against Tottenham. Just a reminder, that's the early kickoff in the Premier League on Saturday. Time to move on to the assist treble now, a selection from each of us. And Dan, we'll start with your pick first.
Yeah, I think Huddersfield to win home to Blackpool looks a solid selection. Six in League One, Huddersfield. Blackpool down in 18th, only a point above the relegation zone and got a lot of injuries at the moment. Blackpool, Huddersfield, since Liam Manning's gone in there, have won three tricky games, but they've won them all. Beat Bradford 1-0 at home, Luton 1-0 at home, had 10 men in both of them games, and then won 3-2 away to Peterborough, have really improved in the last couple of months. So I think they'll keep the winning run going. Huddersfield to beat Blackpool.
Okay, and Mark, I think you're heading into Europe for your selection.
Yeah, so I was in Dublin over the weekend, and I was in a pub called Toners, which I believe is quite a popular one, on Sunday evening. A dream pub. They had Serie A on one TV and the snooker on another. And I was watching Juventus at the corner of one eye win again. So they've won 7 of their last 9 games in Serie A. The old lady being reawoken by a coach that I absolutely love in Luciano Spalletti. Didn't work out for him as the national team coach of Italy, but, you know, recently won the league with Napoli. He's got Juventus heading in the right direction. They play a Lazio team that should be outclassed.
Okay, and I'm going to dip into League Two for my pick, and I'm going to go with the MK Dons to win at Cheltenham at around about 3-4. 12 places and 21 points separate these two teams, and the Dons unbeaten in 5. That's 3 wins and 2 draws. Against a Cheltenham team who have only won 1 of the last 6 League Two games. That came against struggling Crawley. And the hosts have brought in 4 players prior to the transfer deadline and 4 left in January as well. But it's going to take them a bit of time, you feel, to settle in. And MK Dons, I think, can take full advantage of that. Interesting as well to read that they're being linked with a move for Dele Alli potentially returning to the MK Dons as a free agent shortly. We shall see whether that happens or not. But certainly it will boost their chances of promotion, as would a win. And I think they're going to pick up the 3 points on Saturday. So we're going with Juventus, Huddersfield and MK Dons as the assist treble. And we'll conclude this week with the naps of the week from both Mark and Dan. And Mark, we'll start with your nap first.
What, there were rumours in Ireland that he was going to go and play in League of Ireland as well, Dele Alli. So I don't know, maybe he could be a busy boy playing Friday night and then Saturdays for MK Dons. I'm going for Chelsea as far as the nap goes, round about 8 to 11. There's 32 points difference between them and Wolves in the table. And I sort of struggling to kind of get my head around the fact that Chelsea can be kind of 8 to 11 for this game. I mean, they played on Tuesday, but I think that's enough rest. And like, I quite like Wolves myself. And I think they probably are better than their sort of league sort of points tally would suggest. But I mean, they're just really poor in both boxes and probably likely to get punished by Chelsea as well.
Okay, so it's Chelsea for Mark. Dan, who's your nap of the week?
Birmingham at home to Leicester, so strong at home. Had a 3-2 win home to Coventry only last month. Leicester, under caretaker manager, I just think that they're in dreadful form at home with the home losses to Oxford and Charlton. Jordan James as well, probably their best player this season. He's still injured as well, so that makes the task even harder for them. Birmingham to win.
Okay, well, big thanks to both Mark and Dan for all of their input this week. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Just to let you know, there'll be no assists next week as it's FA Cup fourth round weekend taking centre stage. We'll be back on Thursday, February the 19th. There will be a Euro assist, though, before then, as we look ahead to the Champions League playoffs on Monday, February the 16th. So that's to look forward to over the next couple of weeks. In the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend. And as always, please remember to gamble responsibly.